From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Kara Thomas.
And I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we're following this week. What to do about hazardous buildings was a topic of discussion at the Wednesday Grand Marais City Council meeting. At previous meetings, Mayor Sue Hakes expressed concern over health and safety issues regarding some buildings within city limits. As a result, City Administrator Mike Roth consulted with the city's attorney, Chris Hood, and brought information and options to councilors. According to Roth, Minnesota law defines hazardous buildings as those that, because of inadequate maintenance, dilapidation, physical damage, unsanitary condition, or abandonment, constitute a fire or other hazard to public health and safety. Councilors agreed there were a number of buildings that need work, including some that have been abandoned. Roth said there are a number of steps that the city would have to go through if nuisance building owners would not take corrective measures on their own. He said the city had never gone down that legal road, and it would take time and money, some of which would be recoverable. He said councilors needed to consider approaches and consequences.
Why are we talking about this? There's obviously negative consequences, and so what are they, and what effect do they have? And that might help you decide how much of our resources we need to spend in addressing them. And what's your comfort level in terms of aggressiveness? We have very little middle ground here. It's either we're talking nicely to the property owner or we're getting ready to sue them. You know, there's not very much in between that. So if we're not comfortable to taking an aggressive approach, it limits what we can accomplish.
The mayor stressed respect and diplomacy when dealing with property owners. She said she would rather talk to them and try to reach a middle ground before taking more extreme measures. Councilor Kay Costello was uncomfortable speaking in generalities and cited the city's biggest concern was the safety of the old movie theater building. Roth said that about 2 years ago, a cement-coated foam panel fell off the front of the building and crashed to the sidewalk. No one was injured, but he added that no one really knows how safe the structure is, and the city has no building inspector qualified to make that determination. Attorney Hood said that an inspector from elsewhere could be hired to look at the building with the owner's consent. Without that consent, the process would mean going through the courts. Councilors agreed they would rather not open that door to litigation. However, Jan Sievertson reminded fellow council members, quote, "We didn't open that door. The door opened when the panel fell off," unquote. In the end, Mayor Sue Hakes agreed she would contact the building owners and begin the process.
Grand Marais City Councilors held a work session prior to their regular meeting Wednesday, and the news wasn't good. City Administrator Mike Roth filled council in on latest cuts from the state in local government aid. Roth said this is the fourth aid cut the city has had to deal with. The latest cut is a $33,352 reduction in the city's market value homestead credit. In December of 2008, local government aid was cut by nearly $40,000. In 2009, LGA was again cut by $31,000. And earlier this year, LGA was cut by over $73,500. Councilors debated where they could cut the budget to make up for the loss. They settled on cutting their cable fund, which is currently inactive, and reducing funding to rec park site upgrade studies. Barring further state reductions, the city will receive $111,600 in LGA for 2010.
Cook County commissioners had three basic questions before them relating to revisions in an ordinance covering Class 1 all-terrain vehicle use on county roads. At a public hearing Tuesday, they adopted two of those revisions and extended the length of a third. As of July 1st, ATVs will be allowed on all county roads, gravel and paved, as long as they stay to the far right shoulder. The one exception is the Gunflint Trail above the so-called Four Corners, where Devil Track Road intersects the trail. Beyond that point, no ATV traffic will be allowed due to narrow to non-existent road shoulders. This revision means county roads within the city of Grand Marais will also be open to ATV traffic. Where shoulders don't exist, ATVs will be expected to ride to the far right of the road. The City Council has already expressed support of such a change within city limits. The original revised ordinance, drafted in May of last year, did not include paved roads or county roads within the city. The Cook County ATV Club had asked commissioners to extend travel to all county roads and those within the city. Commissioners explored various combinations of road use, speeds, and other restrictions. In the end, County Attorney Tim Scannell said if commissioners wanted to expand ATV use on roads, the ordinance should be easy to understand and enforceable.
A big part of drafting these things is trying to have simplicity and clarity so that people actually know what the heck they're supposed to be doing when they're doing it. And it becomes really difficult to have a level of clarity when you're trying to say, on this road you've got to do this, on that road you got to do that, here you got to do this. And I can speak for myself. I mean, not being someone who knows all the roads, I would be confused if we started saying, you know, this is the rule here, this is the rule there. I would like need some cheat sheet. I'd be like a quarterback. What can I do here, you know? So I think a big part of this is trying to keep it simple and clear so that the information can get out there, so that people understand it, so that the ATV club can educate people toward the rules, because I think that it's clear that they want to adhere to the rules. Over the last year, the one thing we know for sure is that we haven't seen some kind of massive violation or use of the roads in an improper way.
The club also requested the ordinance be made permanent after a year's trial. The revised ordinance carries a 3-year sunset to be reviewed after 1 year. Ordinance revisions were in part originally sought to reduce ditch riding for the sake of safety and environmental degradation. According to County Attorney Tim Scannell, the ordinance addresses that concern. He said, if you open up the roads, you close down the ditches. The ordinance public hearing took over an hour of discussion, with many ATV club members present. There was some written opposition to the ordinance revision, however, no one at the hearing spoke against it. The consensus among commissioners was that potential problems would come from visiting riders, not locals who have had contact with ATV club programs. ATV club spokesperson Rhonda Silence reviewed the many programs the club sponsored for education and safety. She finished by agreeing with Tim Scannell's keep it simple option.
The idea of simplicity and clarity sounds wonderful because as an ATVer, if you're riding on a state road, if you're riding on a state road in the Pat Dale State Forest, it's closed unless posted open. If you're riding on a state road in the Grand Portage State Forest, it's open unless posted closed. Now, if you're on Forest Service land, it's closed unless posted open. So it's already confusing enough.
The ordinance enacted as a trial last year yielded no violations. According to Scannell and Sheriff Mark Falk, what violations there were not violations of the ordinance and would have happened in any event. The official July 1 date is predicated by the installation of signage at the Four Corners area of the Gunflint Trail informing ATVers and motorists of the restriction of ATVs beyond that point. Local sign painter and avid ATVer Betsy Perry.
If you need a sign tomorrow, you can have a sign tomorrow.
The offer was declined because the sign would not meet Department of Transportation specifications. The Highway Department was urged to order the Gunflint Trail sign to meet the July 1st deadline.
There's a buzz in the air in Grand Marais. Several downtown businesses have expanded, and 3 brand new ones are getting ready to open their doors.
It's called The Garage, Art, Antiques, Coffee, and Community.
That's Jill Terrell. She owns the old Lind Garage building in downtown Grand Marais. Her clothing store Threads occupies the front part of the historical building built in 1920. Terrell's new business, The Garage, will occupy the space at the back of the building, housing an antiques dealership and an artisan's co-op. There's also a large, airy meeting space, complete with comfortable seating, a lunch counter, tables, and a coffee cart.
I'm hoping that it will really be a chance of community coming together to help community, and that's one of the reasons we want to keep some open meeting space in the back where people can gather. Groups can come in the evening. We're going to offer live music in the back. We're going to broker antiques for people if they have a couple things they want to turn back into cash. So we're pretty much open to suggestions of ways to add some extra income to people who live here. And we're really trying to make it a cooperative, community-based program.
Terrell is especially excited about the historical signs and objects that decorate the garage.
There's all this history in the building from not just this building, but Grand Marais that's finding its way back to the building. You know, we've got the old lunch counter from Mabel's Cafe and the ice cream stools from Lang's Soda Fountain and the original Gunflint Trail Bear. And so we're really trying to honor, you know, the community that's gone before us.
Not far from the garage, across Broadway to the east, another business is getting ready to open called Stone Harbor Wilderness Supply. Owner Jack Stone purchased the Superior Coastal Sports Building, located on the East Harbor in downtown Grand Marais, in January of this year, and has been renovating and expanding the space.
I'm excited. I'm getting worn out by the whole construction process, but I'm really excited to get this thing rolling, and hopefully we'll be open by Memorial Day, and then we can start enjoying it. In all the years I've been coming to Grand Marais, I've always felt that there's a need for a high adventure shop, one that will cover all the sports that people participate in up in the Grand Marais area.
Stone Harbor Wilderness Supply will be open year-round, offering outdoor gear for sale and rental, as well as guided kayaking, canoeing, and climbing trips.
Many, many years ago, I worked for Eddie Bauer back in the early 70s when Eddie Bauer was Eddie Bauer. We sold tents, sleeping bags, and all those things. And I've been trying to model this store on my memory of what Eddie Bauer was at that time, which was a fantastic expedition outfitter, is what they called themselves. So that's sort of where we want to be.
Stone is planning what's known as a soft opening, hopefully by Memorial Day weekend.
Then over the Wooden Boat Show, summer solstice at the North House, that's when our grand opening is going to be. And that's where we're going to be kind of inviting the world to see us.
Also inviting the world to see his new business is photographer Stefan Hoagland. Hoagland is a longtime Grand Marais artist and businessman, well known for his jewelry making and in recent years for his photography.
In the past few years, I've gotten more and more involved in my photography work, and I really love it. And I was trying to run it through my much too tiny jewelry store already, and there just wasn't room. And I felt that if I was to be taken seriously as a photographer, I needed a gallery space, and I needed a portraiture studio separate from my jewelry store.
Hoagland finds inspiration for his photography in and around Grand Marais on a daily basis.
I feel like I could go out every day for the rest of my life here and get something important that's not the same. The way the light changes and the moods of the weather are just phenomenal.
Hoagland's new gallery and photo studio, called Boreal Light Imagery Gallery, is located on Broadway in downtown Grand Marais, across the street from the Shoreline Hotel. The grand opening is scheduled for Friday of Memorial Day weekend, May 28th. For WTIP News, I'm Kara Thomas.
And I'm Jay Anderson.